And welcome, 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 dear listeners. Yes, we are close to that time of the year. We're a day away from, well, the midway point specifically of, that, you know, being this holiday period. I call it the midway point primarily because it does feel like a middle point or a qualification round that you first have to meet specifically before you get to the end of the year, because the end of the year is only next year, next week specifically, which will obviously introduce the new year a day later on Thursday, next, that being next week Thursday. But if you're finding yourself still here in the particular mix, yes, it's the 24th. You've known that for the whole of this day so far. Primarily the excitement in terms of people doing their shopping, going about, trying to get that final shopping done because they know the 25th, there will be no Jose avenues primarily to still go and try and do your shopping. If you're one of those unfortunate people, you know, that, that'll have to look at the 25th of December, just, you know, being, you know, hanging high and being dry and all that other situationship, you know, that you've got to experience. My commiserations in that regard, specifically also with some of you that still have to go and get your last shoppings in because there's only a handful of particular, outlets that will still be, entertaining Christmas shopping until a later period of today. Obviously things will be closed because it is that particular kind of a public holiday where, you know, there'll be limited businesses open. Obviously I'm not talking about, you know, the side hustle situations that we find in our, in the communities or in the other parts of the towns or in Windhoek. I'm not talking about those establishments because we know those establishments love curbing, you know, the rules or bending the rules and thus sort of like finding the loopholes within the supposed loopholes that probably don't exist, but somehow have been discovered. But yeah, but in that scenario, obviously, you know, this particular Wednesday has also seen, the aspect in terms of, it being sort of like a family day, many particular families out and about and just, you know, hanging about, visiting obviously their favorite establishments and businesses through this particular, this whole particular day so far, because I've been to most of the malls today and they are packed. When I say packed, they are pretty full, and I'm talking about households. I'm talking about, you know, both parents and kids, or parents, grandparents, kids, extended families, people bumping into each other into the, in, you know, in the aisle while they're busy shopping, or at the till while they're busy paying, or probably just at the door as they're busy unloading or loading their particular groceries. Wherever you find yourself, dear listeners, fellow Namibians, fellow Windhoekers, obviously I'm giving you an early Christmas, you know, greeting, you know, Christmas, Merry Christmas Eve. Obviously we still have tomorrow. You'll still see me tomorrow. But then I'll, you know, the Christmas wish will be a little bit late at the end of the day. However, as we always, as we've been doing here since Monday on this particular segment from the 5:30 to 6 o'clock. No, it's not 6 o'clock, sorry. My show is not 30 minutes long. From the 5:30 to the 7 o'clock period or window, we'll be taking a look at the holiday reads, suggestions, as well as also particular tips in terms of if you are trying to find a gift, you don't know what you're trying to get, this particular family member, friend, a loved one, the likes, you know it. Yeah, okay, if you love giving gifts to your enemies as well, you know, by all means, but just make it safe, please. We don't want to be reading about you in the new year. But ultimately, they're always gifts, and books are always those particular kinds of gifts that you can always share. Hence the reason why I first alluded to the in the introduction that there's still a whole bunch of, you know, outlets, businesses left in terms of if you're still trying to do your, like, Christmas shopping and you just knocked off from work or whatever particular project you were busy with. Obviously, you'll still have that opportunity because certain establishments at some of the malls and some other distribution points will still be entertaining, like, late-ish Christmas shopping. But before we actually continue, dear listeners, we'll be taking a short ad break and coming back right after this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Coming back from the quick break, and we step into the short ad break. The 2026 applications are now open for the Ongwediva Achievers Private Center Boost Your Grade 11 NSSCO results. We are designed to help learners obtain better grade 11 NSSCO results, intensive practical and teacher-led sessions, affordable fees with flexible payment options, subjects that are offered, English as a second language, Oshindonga, biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, development studies, agricultural science, geography, history, economics, business studies, entrepreneurship, and accounting. How to apply? Complete the application and pay the application fee, which is $150. Email the application to Ongwediva Achievers Private Center at wu.edu.na. Alternatively, send your application via WhatsApp to +264 8165151 5138. For more information, call Mr. Natangwe at cell number +264 8165151 5138. Ongwediva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. Now, coming back where we left off, dear listeners, and obviously heading into the rest of this afternoon show, wherever you do find yourself, do tune in, obviously, participate also in the conversation, because you can sometimes also ask in terms of what kind of stories or books or gifts or reading material you'd like to tap into. In terms of that consideration, you can call 0832888401. We've got to keep it also PG-related, guys, because certain particular books do have some adult themes in them. Also, just remember, it's a road of discovery. Specifically, when you become a reader, an avid reader, it's a particular road of discovery that you yourself embark on. At any age range, starting young, or if you are advanced in your age, meaning if you're an old person, it doesn't matter. You'll be able to enjoy it, but also, some of those particular tips that I wanted to share yesterday, I'll be sharing in today, specifically about what reading actually does to your brain and how it helps you, because there was research, and research is continuously done about reading on a screen and reading from a book. Some of the particulars, our discussion for today obviously has to look at the art specifically of what graphic novels contribute to a reader's particular imagination and world-building abilities, but before we continue, ad break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
So we come back, dear listeners, there from the quick ad break right there where we left off. And obviously also taking a look specifically at today's particular talking point, which is the art of graphic novels. Just to let you know, specifically graphic novels, when you've got to look at the word graphic has two particular meanings in terms of the direction to explain something. Graphic could imply that the picture is very horrible. There is, it's for mature audiences, or it's for viewer discretion, specifically when it might be too severe, the content contained within the image, that, adult supervision would be needed, specifically if children have to potentially view this image. And the other explanation of the word graphic would mean picture, just pure picture. And where I am staying in is in the safer bit of this particular zone. So when I'm using the word graphic novel during the course of the discussion, I am implying a picture book. Straightforward. But a picture book with a lot of words contained within it. Now, this particular bracket, dear listeners, of graphic novels subscribes to many readers across many particular age groups. You can go probably as young as 10, and you can probably go as old as 50, maybe. I mean, when we've got to look at the late Stan Lee, when he was, you know, before he passed away specifically, when he was still involved with many of the particular works, obviously much of it had to do with movie production, and obviously he had to step away extensively from the day-to-day engagements and operations of Marvel Comics. But in many particular cases, he had the visionary insight specifically of sticking to the guns of being just a graphic novel publishing business. That's it. Now, for someone obviously who is so invested in this particular sector, it speaks volumes, specifically also that there was French equivalents and Belgian equivalents who did the exact same thing like Stan Lee did. For example, two men that you probably might not have heard much about, who ran a bunch of comic book franchises or titles, let me rather call that, but the most popular one that they brought out, and this is specifically, it was first only brought out obviously in France and French-speaking territories, was the very highly acclaimed, successfully sort of like caricatured illustration of two historic figures from the Roman era. They were French. Well, back then France did not exist. I mean, before Christ, before Christ became a thought. And the situation was obviously that when the French had, not the French, but when the Romans had gotten into an area known as Gaul, Gaul today would be found somewhere in western France. And in that particular scenario, there were specific kinds of people living in that territory known as Gaul. They were known as Gauls. And Gauls, they looked like Vikings, but they weren't Vikings. As you can ascertain, like I'm explaining to you, this was before even the Viking period itself. Now, the situation of this particular scenario was, when I read these particular graphic novels that were brought out by these two French authors, Uderzo and Goscinny, I hope I'm saying the guy's name correctly, but Uderzo and Goscinny are famous for bringing out the Asterix and Obelix series. Technically, it was known only as Asterix the Gladiator series, the Asterix comics, or the Asterix graphic novels, because each book was one storyline and that's it. The storyline didn't flow over into another edition and so forth and so forth. Each particular novel they brought out, or production they brought out, was a complete contained adventure of Asterix and his best friend Obelix and Obelix's pet little dog Dogmatix. I know there's a lot of X's in there, but you'll even find it even further more you'll find it even further more comical when I mention most of the other names that are found within that village where these two Gauls come from. So the village itself is led by a chieftain known as Vital Statistics. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really trying to contain my laughter, because every time when I think back to the editions that I read about Asterix and Obelix, is that every time they would have disputes in the village, and the disputes in many cases, it was either all the men in the village would get into this dispute, which would later on end up in a full-blown knuckle fest, meaning everyone is dealing out punches. And sometimes even the wives would deal out, punches between themselves. And obviously the particular discussion was that this is a small village in the heart of Gaul that has not fallen to the Roman conquest, that was obviously led by the various Roman generals that at the time, they supposedly Asterix and Obelix, and these two men actually did exist in real history. they supposedly existed during the same period or time frame as Julius Caesar or Julius Caesar, the very famous Roman emperor and general. And there are various, you know, illustrations within the novels specifically of said particular interactions. So obviously, you know, Uderzo and Goscinny, the two authors, well, one was the artist and the other one was also, they were both actually the artists, but both of these particular gentlemen, they could both draw and they could both write the storyline. And the lovely thing is that this particular product, this intellectual property that they produced, has been immortalized, meaning it transcends every generation. Now, if you're looking as a parent currently, right now, finding yourself, you know, running around there in the mall somewhere, and you're trying to find a gift, and you're trying to look at probably, you know, turning to a book, just so that you know, and you've got teenagers, you have a wonderful example specifically of, you know, content laced with I don't want to say, you know, unrestricted, but the sarcasm and the jokes contained within these books are just over the top. I mean, in many cases, sometimes where people learn their sarcasm, because the asterisk titles are just, you know, that they're just vintage in delivering the punchlines and the jokes and everything. Now, you obviously have fan favorites. My particular fan favorite obviously was the, it wasn't the first one, Asterix the Gaul. It was actually the one of Asterix the Gladiator. And then there was a second one I had as well as, where's the one I actually had? Was it Asterix the Legionary? No, Asterix and the Chieftain's Shield. I've read Asterix and the Olympic Games, Asterix and the Normans, Asterix in Britain, Asterix in the Big Fight, Asterix in Cleopatra, and Asterix and the Banquet. All of them obviously highlighting to the reader at that stage a different dimension of an adventure during a period which is, if you wish to call it like prehistoric Europe, but prehistoric actually would mean before history, before human history. So I actually put it like ancient history of Europe specifically, based upon these two characters and their adventures. Actually, there were three. No, actually, there were four alongside the druid. What was the druid's name? Getafix, yeah. That, you know, when you think back to that name of Getafix, you end up probably laughing because colloquially, if you look at the word or the words get a fix would imply specifically now in a broader term that, you know, that's probably what many particular people suffering from, what's that thing's name? That condition suffering from substance abuse specifically. And the phrase that many people use, obviously, when I talk about people who suffer from substance abuse is that the person is looking to get another fix. And you've literally got a druid in the storyline with the name Getafix. I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing because every time when I think back to the adventures of Asterix and Obelix, it's just comedy everywhere. Now, obviously, graphic novels also help to expand the imagination, dear listeners, because like I just told you, my particular favorite, and I got a book myself, my younger brother got one himself, each one obviously being unique in their presentations. The Asterix the Gladiator has been a scenario, obviously, where taking place during the well-known history of the Colosseum, and the kinds of sports and games that took place in the Colosseum, specifically in Rome, which is known as the Eternal City, and where primarily, you know, to factor into each dimension of Roman history, how these two Gauls also decided to go and become gladiators and obviously, you know, participate there in the lovely storytelling and the signature moves, obviously, that are given by the Gauls of this Gaulish village is that they literally, when they beat you up, they slap you out of your sandals, meaning it's just your sandals, you know, shaking there after, as an after effect, while the poor victim is falling somewhere else like a meteorite that has just broken through Earth's particular atmosphere. Now, on that particular scenario with the content contained within these graphic novels, you don't have to worry about, as a parent, about any particular sort of like adult language or content being contained in this. It's pure comedy. It is child friendly. It is most ages friendly. Anyone can pick up and read them. Specifically, right today, they are still reproduced and redistributed, because obviously this is what do they call that thing? This is intellectual property that is owned by a central particular company somewhere in Europe, obviously, and they know that there's a major fan base for this particular content across the generations. I mean, I grew up with it because I got exposed to it by my older brothers. And it's something that even, you know, if I'm going to have kids, I'll share with the kids as well. But currently also the exposure also can mean that you can share this further with the younger generations. The important thing to understand here about graphic novels is, dear listeners, that with graphic novels, you have to build up a collection of them. You can't just go buy one edition and think that you've read everything. As a reader, and specifically from myself as a fellow reader, you have to follow through in terms of collecting the whole work of an author. There's another particular trend, but it is not advisable to follow this trend currently in Namibia, because very few outlets actually carry this particular product, and this is comic books. I used to collect comics. I used to buy comics regularly. I tried to follow in a specific, on a specific storyline, because how the American comic book distributors like Marvel and DC would produce their work specifically is that they would write a chapter. So each comic that you would buy illustrated a chapter. And if you've got all the comics of that specific storyline, they would call it an arc. But that specific storyline represented a volume. And a volume is one story, one adventure with multiple chapters in it. But before we continue, guys, we're quickly going to take a short ad break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Coming back, dear listeners, and obviously heading into, well, we're close to the top of the hour at 6. The important thing to recognize from this is that when it comes to comic books, just tread carefully, because it's a question of reliable supply, reliable distribution, and specifically if you can follow on to the storyline. Ad break, we come back right after this.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat Spice, Boyki's ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get it without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
We come back right there, dear listeners, specifically as, you know, this brings us up to the top of the hour, specifically at 6. And leaving now behind the particular, you know, sort of like that first part of our graphic novel discussion, we also have to look at alternative particular content and particular titles and as potential reads and as gifts still, because we're still within the gift-giving period. This is now between today and Saturday or Sunday at most. Just highlighting that particular period for you as well, dear listeners, is primarily because this scenario is one based upon that there's so much options that can be selected from. Another particular, you know, very well published, well read specific product was also The Adventures of Tintin. Now, if you don't know who Tintin was, dear listeners, two movies came out here in the 20-teens, specifically about the movies of Tintin. They were both obviously, I almost said CGI, but you obviously had the first movie, the one that we saw specifically come out in 2011. There was supposed to be one coming out a little bit later after the 2011 edition, but you obviously have the scenario of, you know, who Tintin actually is. Tintin is a journalist, but I don't know if the character itself, you know, is old enough, because even in the illustrations and the pictures, he's slightly, you know, is pretty much the shortest guy everywhere. But The Adventures of Tintin obviously is a series of 24 comic albums that were created by the Belgian cartoonist Hergé, who was the pen name. Now, a pen name is usually what the artists used to give themselves. You know, for example, like the famous artist Banksy, who goes around the world and then he just miraculously spray paints a lovely wall, illustration on a wall somewhere. And when Banksy does that, Banksy technically increases the value of even the building itself. That is, you know, the belief that is out there. He's that kind of an artist. Now, Hergé, who was the pen name of the artist itself, Georges Rémy. Now, the series was one of the most popular European comics of the 20th century, and by 2007, a century after Hergé's birth, meaning 100 years after his birth, Hergé literally, you know, had seen Tintin had been published in more than 70 languages, with sales of more than 200 million copies around the world, and had been adapted for radio, television, theater, and film. Now, it obviously shows the wide reach of the particular product. It obviously shows the particular storyline that it obviously appeals to, the kind of reader that it appeals to. If you have to look at the scenario in terms of the main characters, Tintin and Snowy, those are the main characters, Tintin and his Scottish Terrier. I think Snowy is a Scottish Terrier. Tintin is a young Belgian reporter, meaning a journalist, who's also an adventurer who becomes involved in dangerous cases in which he takes heroic action to save the day. So this follows in a particular time frame back then in the 50s and 40s and obviously in the 30s, you know, many people had these ideas of writing these adventure stories. And then they would use a journalist, a history lecturer like Indiana Jones, or who was the other guy that was also, it was an everyday job that the person did, but they became like, they were also like a main theme character that didn't do anything exceptional, but rather just be athletic and also daring at the same time. Oh my goodness, who's that other guy? But okay, anyway, we'll get back to that character. And obviously, as you see these particular, you know, stories being told, it's stories that they're not too far-fetched, but they actually spark the imagination of the reader. I mean, just like I told you about what Uderzo and Goscinny did with Asterix and Obelix, they were real historic figures, Asterix and Obelix. They were real historic figures. Julius Caesar was a real historic figure. And these guys just, you know, patched together a storyline for graphic novels. And they obviously drew their own particular illustrations themselves, meaning they didn't go and use other people's copyrighted work. They produced their own, and thus they sold their own work under their own names. It's a lovely particular thing also to hand over as a gift if you find the various particular volumes and various particular books of Tintin and The Adventures of Tintin. They form as lovely gifts specifically for, yeah, well, unfortunately, this main story, the main character is obviously a boy or a man. So, you know, just to cite that, there's obviously also works that I'll share a little bit later in today's program that are also directed towards young girls or teenage girls in terms of, you know, adventure series and stories and the same. I'm giving you the classics first because the classics are always the foundations that you always work from and that you build from and that always help you to try and achieve these particular insights into the stories. But before we continue, dear listeners, we're going to take a short ad break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, coming back to listeners right there from the quick break, the nice thing specifically about the stories contained in graphic novels is they engage the reader. It inspires specific sort of like the imagination based upon the storylines that are given. Yes, if you've got a smartphone, you would probably try to look at, what the pyramids of Giza look like. But the unfortunate thing is also, it's not everyone can be there. And in many cases, the graphic novels help with the aspect of participating in an adventure series, obviously with your eyes, and following the adventures of your favorite characters. Now, Tintin and Snowy obviously meet a whole bunch of characters across the various titles or editions that were brought out. You obviously have the sort of like, if you can call them, the support role characters, like Captain Haddock, who is a specific kind of maritime captain that helps sometimes with certain particular abilities to go to certain, if we can call it, destinations, as well as also to try and help Tintin and Snowy with their escapades. I call it escapades because in many cases, these are not things that us journalists do, We don't just decide to go and fly to another country and go do things. Probably the European journalists, but you know what? Tintin is known for that particular scenario. You obviously get another support character that also forms part of the whole Tintin, universe. Is Professor Calculus, literally named after the subject calculus. I know, guys, and most of the characters have all English names, except for Tintin and Snowy, and the two twins, Thompson and Thompson. But apparently, these guys all had French names, all these characters, in the original works written by Hergé. For example, Haddock did have his name, Haddock, because Haddock was originally known as Haddock, and Tintin was kept as Tintin as always. But Snowy's actual name, which is, Tintin's pet Scottish Terrier dog, his actual French name in the French versions is known as Milou. For Professor Calculus, Calculus's name in French was technically Professeur Trifon Tournesol. Or Tournesol. Which technically translates to sunflower. So it was a little bit weird when the English adaptation was done for the English reading market that they had to go with Cuthbert Calculus as a name. But yeah, obviously trying to stay true to the same sort of like flow of words that was used in the French version of Tintin, where the professor's name was actually Trifon Tournesol. So his name and his surname start with the same letter T. The supporting characters, obviously the two famous supporting characters are the two investigators, the two police officers who are twins, identical twins. In the English adaptation, you know them as the Thompson twins. You know, these two investigators with the, is it ball? What do they call those hats? With their ball hats or ball cap hats or something. These two twins also, their names were changed for the English adaptation because their names technically were Dupont et Dupont. So it was Dupont with a T and Dupont with a D at the end in terms of the original French version of Tintin and Tintin's Adventures. The two investigators, or the two as they're actually detectives of the local police constabulary there in Belgium. And the two detectives are, they're depicted in a way of being incompetent, and sometimes they stumble over each other because they're, you know, very sort of like, I'll call them competitive in that scenario, you know, incompetent competitive detectives. But they obviously also had the same mustaches and the same, they wore the same suits, the same, they had the same hats, and I said the same things. And obviously they play a particular comical role even in the movies itself, or the movie, and even in the cartoon series that I watched once, but obviously it's always best to read the books. The reason why, you know, these two classics, Tintin and Asterix and Obelix, form as the basis for, in terms of a suggestion to introduce not just teenagers, but also, let's say, from 10 years old and upwards to this kind of, element of reading is that primarily it's an easy read. You can read it within a day. It's long enough that you can actually, and you know, derive great value from, but it's an easy read. All of these particular graphic novels are easy to read and easy, you know, to just go have your own particular time to read this particular work. Now, much of the other particular scenarios obviously has been that these focal characters, specifically for Tintin, and you can obviously see it's not many characters. It's primarily only the bad guys or the missions that revolve, and each one has a particular different dimension to take. But this is primarily what helps with the easy reading, the adaptation of, you know, putting Tintin's adventures in various exotic relocations across the world. And it helps with describing some of the interesting adventures and missions that Tintin, Snowy, and Haddock engage in. In many cases, unfortunately, the storylines were based during this period of, you know, geopolitical upside downness. I'm talking now that many of it came out just before the Second World War, and many of it obviously was induced by some of the very, you know, dark parts of European history, for example, like the expansion of fascism and the known particular sort of like political elements that started coming up, like communism as well, and all that particular scenarios. So the original versions obviously were in this particular context where the political climate in Europe was not the best. And obviously a lot of the work also then came out in the 40s of Hergé, and the reproductions obviously also, you know, sort of like mirrored the kind of style and the kind of reading that the reader was, in many cases back then, was already accustomed to. But if you're going to read it now as a reader of 2025, you'll get a insight and an understanding specifically of what particular context the situation looked like. And that Tintin and Snowy's adventures are not, they're not 2025 adventures, they're adventures literally either just after the Second World War or just before the Second World War. Just so that you guys know, it's a world just before the Second World War or in a world just after the Second World War. So that you can understand, you know, that there's no funny things about asking, okay, so what's the time period here? You've got to know the context and time period of these particular classics. When you've got to look at classics, I've even been coached in this scenario of looking at the classics as a foundation. Hence the reason I always repeat it. They help you to understand what was before you get into the newer work being found around you know, the modern day landscape that we see today. A nice particular thing is obviously there are for the Asterix and Obelix graphic novels, and even for the Tintin graphic novels, there are outlets here in Windhoek that do distribute them. If you don't find them specifically, always ask in terms of for alternatives, meaning something that can be suggested or recommended, you know, as an alternative particular, reading material to purchase, obviously, and also to make use of. The scenario obviously is that you also have to understand that this is a, these are particular reading, that you can't give to someone, who, you know, doesn't love the concept of a graphic novel with, you know, with panels and, you know, with speech bubbles and with lovely colors being applied. Yes, it's very few times that you hear me use the word lovely, but I'm someone that likes art, and specifically the art that you will find in the Udershoen Goscinny, presentations of Asterix, and of Hergé's work specifically in Tintin. They are similar, but you can see it's two distinctly different art styles. This is obviously besides the other suggestions I'm going to give up, that I'm going to share with you just after, just after we finish this particular segment of the classics. And it'll help you just with looking at some of this work and also being able to participate in the storylines or just position yourself there, because the aspect of reading is escapism. Aspect of reading is not to sit in a class and announce that I'm reading. It's for you to sit somewhere silently and consume the work. Getting into some of the particular interesting talking points, obviously, and this will be the next particular phrase we'll be taking, is some of the newer additions, that you can potentially look at. They might be on offer at, I say might, be on offer, because in many cases, some of them are not, distributed to, you know, the African continent. In some cases they are. In some cases you'll find them as an ebook, meaning it's only accessible in a digital version. In some cases not. And obviously, just as the piece of advice that I've always been sharing since Monday, is if you don't find the exact title, always ask, wherever you're going to shop for your latest or next read, is ask for a similar title, an alternative title, or something in the same, you know, up the same particular stream that gives the same particular value. Now, if we're not talking about new age, contemporary time frame, contemporary works, what is contemporary? If you don't know what the word contemporary means in this period of 2025 or from 2020 going ahead. This is contemporary. You know, things that are fitting of the period, of the time. So, you always have the notion in terms of that there's always something else to look at. The nice thing about graphic novels is that they are a great way to explore new stories, revisit well-loved ones, and sometimes also look at some stories in a whole new way. This is obviously as the graphic novels, you know, they themselves also evolve in terms of the storytelling, the themes that are applied. I say the themes, hence the reason why I always emphasized with the Asterix and Obelix and Tintin references that we started with, you've got to look at the themes that were present then and under what context did those productions actually take place. The themes that you sometimes, that we're going to be looking at for this particular segment of today's The Holiday Reads segment, is that we're going to be looking at contemporary, we're going to be looking at fantasy, sci-fi, romance, horror and thriller, mystery, historical fiction, and memoirs and non-fiction. Now, the nice thing is, obviously, between what happened with the classics that I started off with and these contemporary editions that happened, is that people and authors and publishing houses realized we needed, we need to expand each of the categories. Well, the categories are actually genres. The genres need to be expanded. New particular avenues need to be explored, and as well as also that storytelling has to evolve as the times are evolving. Now, here's an interesting thing with these particular new age titles and discussions. The themes obviously are looking at various particular things. For example, if we look at sci-fi, think of cyberpunk. But don't think of the video game Cyberpunk 2077. Because if you did not know, the video game Cyberpunk 2077 actually comes from the graphic novel by the same name, Cyberpunk 2077. Now, what people did not know, or not many people today did not know, and I was told this story, I was told the story back when? 2010? 11? The book itself and its author, the cyberpunk books, it was actually a tabletop game, but there were books that were published as well based upon this game. So the video game production studio known as CD Projekt Red, the same studio that created the world famous The Witcher game series, Witcher 1, Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings, and Witcher 3, obviously the ultimate favorite that a lot of people love. I personally love it as well. All these three particular games were produced by CD Projekt Red. CD Projekt Red then took on Cyberpunk 2077. Cyberpunk 2077, was a very old production. And, I mean, even some of the resources and literature says here it was based upon a series of books and a tabletop game. But Cyberpunk 2077 has several books in it, that obviously helps to explain a lot of the particular work. But Mike Pons, Mike Pondsmith, the author of the book series, is someone who highlighted primarily that the work, because Mike Pondsmith is now like 71 years old, and when he wrote the book, or the graphic novel, it was in 1988 that he wrote it, Cyberpunk. And he's actually known for writing a whole bunch of sci-fi based work, because Pondsmith himself, who's a native from the state of California in the United States, he's actually a video game designer, a board game designer, a role-playing game designer. He also started becoming a publisher. So he's obviously a multifaceted, multi-talented individual and professional. And he then obviously, branched out and also, created this particular work. Now, many people also, when they look retrospectively towards movies of a similar theme, there was the movie specifically that, what's his name? Ryan Gosling, recently played in, which was, what was Ryan Gosling's movie? The one that also had a cyberpunk theme to it, specifically about, androids and the likes. And that was a movie that inspired many people, because that movie's, first particular production was in the 80s. Just to share you, Blade Runner, that was the movie's name. Yeah, Blade Runner 2045. So Blade Runner 2045 actually is a sequel to the Blade Runner that Harrison Ford did in the 80s. I think in 1984 or something like that. The first Blade Runner movie. So now that I'm giving you this specific time frame and timeline of a genre, a sci-fi genre that popped up And when you've got to look at a sci-fi genre in such a particular, you know, aspect of, you know, its particular contemporary value proposition, if we have to use value proposition for, you know, describing what is being displayed, is that with sci-fi, sci-fi has expanded in recent years to unimaginable heights. When I say unimaginable heights, is it has also inspired, in many cases, new productions to come about for movies and to come about for TV series and to come about for video game development. So obviously, since you guys, since I've shared here with you guys here on Eagle FM specifically, that the movie production, TV production, book production, video game production segment of the entertainment sector around the world is a multi-billion dollar sector that is just continuously growing because new particular stories and new particular works are coming about and people are just producing and inventing every day. So too is what we literally see of the likes of, in the graphic novel aspect. Now, when you're looking at graphic novels, dear listeners, obviously there's also a notion to also understand which ages a certain particular graphic novel would be directed to or would be positioned for and which ages not. Specifically, if you've got to deal with, like for example, the first that we've got on our list, which is by the name of which is under the contemporary category, the graphic novel's name is Monster. It's a graphic novel written by Walter Dean Myers, and it was adapted from someone else's works as well, by Guy Sims and Dawood Anyabwile. This is a particular coming-of-age story based upon the main character, Steve Harmon, who is a teenager who is awaiting trial for a murder and a robbery. Now, obviously, when you look at the themes contained in this particular graphic novel itself, obviously it speaks towards, okay, so this is for a teenager, or this is for a young adult. That's now from the 18 to 25 year old range. And it has certain particular themes associated within it that you can't buy this particular graphic novel for a 10 year old. Or even a 12-year-old or 13-year-old for that matter. Yes, many people would argue today that, yeah, sure, there are scenarios where 13 and 10-year-olds actually are sent to jail or to some sort of a detention center somewhere in the world, you know, for freak accidents or for scenarios or things that have happened. I do not argue the probability of such events transpiring. The situation is just, you know, you've got to look at the context in terms of what kind of a reader can read or access the particular themes contained in a specific work. And before we continue, dear listeners, we're going to take a short break and come back right after this.
Ungiriro, con Karimo Keje, Eripe Villaeje, Mona Mipia. Raka, otaparandura etse ifo yasiman. Talizi ku miniseri una mapsa, I kwahi, omea, ne tendururo jevi. Naturipura kene nawa, nukurita ambasana, na negumbo aeje, ashinda, no kume. Natuholisi pomkaro, wokuranda, no kurandiza evijaeje. Omora shikembera, oshoka, evijaeje mona Mipia, evije pangiro, no itali voruna. Ndi okurandizwa kuchane omunkaro woni okukutha ombinga mirandizo jevijaehe oshirima shahari paveta oveta etendururo jevijaehe ovitondindano yomvomo ovigari nambari oyindika thiru thiru oshirima shika iranduli irandizo jevi shahari paveta omagero opaveta ona kuyona otashivurika pewe egero jokufuta nenge jonzorongo okupiaganika ombiri moshiwana irandizo nenge okuranda evi Jaehe, Otashivurika Shiete o Tamanana Devi, Oshowa Umbanda Moshiwana, Shoka Pumga Gutsea o Shoshika, Evi Jaehe, Oje Twenia Tuheni, Ojo Onzon Zoka Dina Utopori Rwasana, No Kuganja, Uwanawa, Kukete Wumwe, Ukupati Rapo, Uzigawetu, Mokus Simaneka evijaye khe potato ganja esimaneko John kuruhe vivetu nokugamine napo on tingoroko wetu lopota umenyingo gari paveta una wandimbiri ke usimengwani ma tashilimbiri ke shanika ulingiringi wera ndito jevijaye khe shiropota mbara kerero chupantuhuru wakaro ke uriko ngundumtima jevijaye khe menge kombirewa yu ministeri pope pinangoe natulongere nikumwe moku gamine napo onzo vetu jevijaye khe morwa ushiwana shoko mongura koneka kucha itashikakara ushina kuwadifwa shu ministeri mekanitho kehe jevi jahoroka onga ushizemo shiranitho jevi jaye khe jari pave Eta vimburukwa evijaye khe uyamba wapumba natuligamine nepo nokulikarikapo morwa uwanawa wakehe gumwe irongero kumwe joye otali pandurwa etumwara kandika jopa radio ojarongikidwa neyambilidho joshi mariwa okuza kepangelo jo republica ya namibia nepangelo jo republica ya ndoishi okupitira mombanga yomapendurepo yo kfw kuyelele wagwedhwapo kwatathana nombele wayi uministeri popepi nangoye nenge ombele wayi pambele yoshigwana muuministeri wuunamapya iikwahi omeya netendululo jevi konomola yongodhi 061 82 87 64
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossen Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Bug Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana Konongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa Nune udo otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshe faa omarudi dayo loka Opone ushendike nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ile konderewa Vra hetatu natu Bali o hetatu watatu Oma filane Eagle FM The Eye
Now, coming back there, dear listeners, from the extended ad break that we had right there, and obviously you're finding yourself here on the Holiday Reads with your with yours truly, Dwight, and you're in my company from the 5:30 point up until 7 p.m., where we left off, obviously just highlighting that, you know, when you've got to look at some of the particular new age titles and kinds of reads that will pop up under the particular themes or genres and categories of contemporary sci-fi, fantasy, romance, horror, thriller or mystery, history, historical fiction or memoirs and non-fiction. Now, the next particular title also to potentially look at, and this is also for girls because the first particular title had a little bit of a darker theme, but it was based upon a young boy or a young man as you know, awaiting trial for a robbery and murder. Obviously, he's playing into a particular kind of a theme and storyline contained within that work. Is another one, a slightly more upbeat, slightly more, you know, appealing to a different reader and a reader specifically who appeals to the same messaging that comes through as a young teenage girl in the next particular title known as Girl Mode, which was written by Magdalene Visaggio, illustrated by Pauline Ganacho. And this is obviously as the main character, Phoebe Zito, obviously is trying to avoid being noticed at high school and being that the newest kid at, or the newest child at her high school, since she recently arrived in the city of Los Angeles. And also, you know, having to go through certain particular changes with her family, with her personal life and all that, you know, drawing attention and obviously trying to deal with the ups and downs of high school life as a teenager in the city of Los Angeles in the United States. Now, obviously, this could be a storyline that appeals to, young ladies, specifically teenage girls. If you're a parent still trying to find, a compatible gift and compatible, just something to help the young minds in the house, try to calm down a little bit and concentrate on something else and also boost their particular potential reading capabilities. Works like this also help them with actually, bridging those particular gaps. There's obviously various kinds of ways also of looking at the kinds of contemporary material that would appeal to other kinds of readers. One obviously would be a discussion based upon different cultures. For example, the title by the name of Fitting Indian, written by Jyoti Chand and illustrated by Tara Anand, is also about a young woman specifically, who tries to fit into the latest setup in terms of where she finds herself. Now, this is obviously as the main character, Natasha's parents, want is for her to be the perfect daughter, something that she is, apparently according to her, not. And everything that she does seems to disappoint them, especially her mom, obviously dealing with the particular family culture scenarios that we all know coming out of the various backgrounds that we have here in Namibia. Obviously, there are those various particular kinds of backdrops and various kinds of struggles that, specifically young adults and teenagers. Many people think that the teenagers or young adults in their families are troublesome, but it's a scenario in terms of just, the interpretations and sometimes also the uphill struggles of trying to decipher and understand, what is happening in the broader world. Another particular interesting read also, fitting in with the aspect of how culture also puts pressure on young people and specifically in various contexts, as well as also in various settings. Another particular scenario also to look at is a theme specifically associated to sport, like the next title known as Check Please. This is a particular title written by the writer Ngozi Ukazu. And this specifically looks at the, a webcomic series. This is a completely digital publication. This follows the particular adventures, and it's a hilarious, illustration based upon, comedy and all that kinds of works, about, the sport of hockey, ice hockey, specifically in North America, about the athletes associated to it and the discussions obviously contained in a modern day contemporary setting of, just trying to juggle between, how you fit in to the broader scenario of the sport itself. Now, getting into some of the other particular genres, and not just to focus specifically on the genre of contemporary, is we got to also have a look at the fantasy productions that also you can look at in terms of the kind of reading material that can be discovered under this. One, starting off in the fantasy, under the fantasy genre, is looking at the particular, let's say, the particular title here in front of me known as A Wizard of Earthsea, which is a graphic novel by the writer Ursula Le Guin. And this is as the main character Jed or Ged was highlighted as being the greatest sorcerer in the land of Earthsea, but in his youth he was known as the reckless Sparrowhawk. In his hunger for power and knowledge, Ged then tampers with long-held secrets and unleashes a terrible shadow upon the world. Obviously, this then sets things in motion for the adventure to be contained within, and specifically for the reader to find themselves diving into the particular adventure from there. Now, it's a similar thing that I've actually also seen specifically with some of the developments coming about. For example, in what you would see in TV series as well as also in movie productions and the likes. And it's one of the things probably also why I have a little bit of a disappointment in terms of us here Namibians not being able to write a little bit more in terms of, literature, not just about being a writer as a, as a journalist or as a reporter or as someone having to detail or document, you know, actual events, but someone that can help fellow Namibians also expand their horizons and understanding about the world around them and various particular subject matter like that. You obviously see here, you know, illustrations and graphic novels that help to sort of like, well, the writer and the artist obviously on their part are trying to give and illustrate and present works, a combination of text and images to complete an image, you know, and a presentation that is there to firstly capture the imagination of the reader and thus also to help the reader you know, fit themselves into the storyline that will be presented in the work itself. Obviously, when it comes to works of fantasy, this is a scenario where you have to critically, as the reader, literally, and this is a piece of advice I give you also, in terms of when you deal with fantasy works, don't look at the fantasy works after you've watched or read the works of J.K. Rowling or Tolkien or George R.R. Smith. Is his name George R.R. Smith? The guy from Game of Thrones. But don't view other people's work through the same lenses, meaning you're using Game of Thrones as a benchmark to benchmark someone else's ability to, you know, to build a fantasy world for you and to tell you what happens in that fantasy world. You can't do that. It won't be a fair assessment and a fair judgment to walk around with, because it completely means that you're comparing artists who, and you're making the accusation specifically in that analysis that the artist that came latest is trying to copy the work of another artist. It's not an unfair thing unless you can prove that particular copy scenario. But just that you know, dear listeners, when you're dealing with works of fiction, and specifically fantasy works like this genre, it depends on what kind of reader, you know, you wish to buy this book for, what kind of reader you are. Are you someone that will entertain fantasy and fiction? Because fantasy is fiction. Sci-fi is fiction. And they are all sub-genres of the overall reading genre of fiction. They're all sub-genres, meaning fantasy is a sub-genre of fiction, sci-fi is a sub-genre of fiction, because they are both fiction. When you've got to look at the next particular title, for example, one coming that has an interesting historic setting, but a very weird sort of like presentation style in its right, is the next title known as The Worst Ronin, written by Maggie Tokuda Hall and illustrated by Faith Schaefer. This particular production obviously sets the storyline in medieval Japan, where there were samurai, because you can only become a ronin if you were dishonorably chased away, or you were, you know, you were released from service, or technically your samurai master, which would have been your feudal lord, a daimyo, had passed away. Now, the particular storyline obviously is one based upon a 16-year-old Chihiro Ito, who knows that more than anyone else specifically in terms of, you know, that life is difficult to be a samurai, specifically as Chihiro's father is renowned amongst the world of the samurai, but the only thing Chihiro is known for is spending way too much time on her phone obsessing over Tatsuo Nakano, which is an idol that Chihiro actually likes about. And this is supposedly the first woman to be accepted into the Keisei Academy, which is also a prestigious samurai school. Now, obviously, the particular storyline has, you know, two main characters and some support characters that you can already see in that particular short summary that I shared there with you, being the situation that, you know, it takes place in a contemporary setting. It has a medieval feel to a situation because I don't know, well, me personally now, you know, being a skeptic, I don't know how smartphones fit into a medieval world unless they're trying to do the same thing that I used to like about a anime I watched more than 10 years back known as Gintama, which supposedly was set in the period just after, what was that period's name? It was literally a transitional period of Japan moving from medieval to now becoming an industrial, country in the 1800s. And that is literally as feudalism fell away and was, done away with in Japan. It was a work of art that was based purely on the wackiest sci-fi infused, sort of like hunt, you know, storyline with a samurai walking around with a wooden sword that had the ability to cut through rocks, to cut through steel, to cut through, you know, even other harder substances and the likes. And it was just completely wacky. It was a completely wacky production. I mean, you didn't either know if you should switch off or stop reading this particular comic or, you know, follow it on because it had such a weird premise. But much of the premise was based upon sometimes you'll be distracted with a lot of the comedy happening here in the front. And then you fall back into line specifically with the main storyline that was being pursued by the characters. So yeah, it's a similar sort of like, I've seen something similar, meaning I can judge this particular work without having read it, but just, you know, sharing with you the, you know, in terms of its fantasy, you know, presentation, that you can view this particular work of where two worlds are mashed into one, actually three worlds that I already identify there. And it's a scenario of how do you best present this work to a reader. Obviously, that'll be for the reader to, you know, to judge, and also to highlight their particular interests. Another one, that comes through is from a reader by the name of, or not a reader, a writer by the name of Wendy Shu. This, the work that she, you know, that she wrote is The Infinity Particle. And this is obviously, you know, it has a fantasy element to it, but it has a little bit of a sci-fi undertone to it. This specifically, where the sci-fi comes in, is the main character, Clementine Chang, moves from Earth to Mars. No, this is not the Elon Musk reality discussion, just so that you know, because Elon Musk is trying to reach living on Mars. I don't know why. And Clementine, after moving from Earth to Mars for a new start, is lucky enough to land a dream job with a doctor by the name of Marcella Lin, who is an AI pioneer. So obviously you see also some of the particular main characters taking place there, and it obviously has a little bit of a sci-fi element in it, a little bit of a fantasy in it, even though it is listed under the fantasy bracket of titles. You can obviously see, you know, but the sci-fi and the fantasy literally are infused in this specific title. Now, it depends on the art style as well, because each of the works that I've mentioned so far, from the contemporary into the fantasy, each writer, each author, each work has a different art style that they are presenting to you. It is up to you, the reader, the consumer, to judge the product on its particular merits and whether or not you are convinced in, you know, specifically engaging in that purchase. I mean, there are themes, for example, like I mentioned, the AI theme, and as well as also the space travel theme. Obviously intertwined into this all, you would also get, for example, like love stories being depicted in these discussions. In some cases, you get real good artwork. It's also based upon the kind of storyline, meaning the dialogue and the writing, the quality of writing that is deployed in this particular scenario. The next particular work is known as Squire, which is written by Nadia Shamas and illustrated by Sarah Alfaghi. Now, Aitza, who is the main character, has always dreamt of becoming a knight, and it's the highest military honor in terms of the once great Bait Saji Empire. And obviously, it's a fictional empire, a fictional character, a fictional setting. So obviously the particular author is obviously already highlighting to you that, you know, this, don't think of this as finding a real world setting. Just position yourself and think of this completely different scenario where these completely different rules exist. And obviously this is as the main character, Aitza, would like to be or is a member of a subjugated group of people in this empire known as the Ornu people, where knighthood is her only path to fulfilling citizenship or to achieving full citizenship. Now, obviously, there are themes of war, themes of conflict, themes potentially of violence that you can look forward to in this particular production, specifically because stories set in medieval times were not the most softest of themes. You know, in some cases, for people that have looked at or have watched the whole Game of Thrones TV series, obviously based upon the books. And like I discovered the other day that much of the work of the books literally comes from the War of the Roses in England, and that much of the particular themes found in England were copy and pasted by George R.R. Smith just like that into the series of books known as A Ring of Fire and Ice. If you don't know, that's what the overall collection of the Game of Thrones books is known as. Game of Thrones is but one book in the series. So, and each particular book takes you through a specific, what they call that, a channel. A period in time. I called it, I used the incorrect word, but to use the word channels is sort of like better because you are set in a specific time frame. You can't move back. You can't move forward. You might have reference backwards in terms of what happened in the first book or the book before the book that you currently find yourself in. But going forward, you don't know what's going to come next. You just know this is the current setting where I am. This is the current situation and characters that are found within this particular context. And this is the development, the main theme, the overarching storyline that I'm following in this specific segment of this specific book. It's the same particular thing you have to look at with graphic novels as well. If the author is someone that is known for bringing out a series of productions, meaning there's a first book, a second book, a third book, or there was an announcement that there will be 5 books under the same particular theme for the same character, and this is how you've got to view it as book 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, situations like that, because that's what the Marvel and the DC guys do a lot. They illustrate to their readers that you've got multiple, as I mentioned at the start of the discussion for today, there's going to be multiple editions. There's going to be chapters as the storyline progresses. So you've got to view a volume in multiple chapters. You collect every chapter to say this is the volume of this particular storyline, of this particular time frame or context by which the main characters or this particular theme was happening in. Another particular theme or a title to be looked at, for example, if people are there for looking at some adventure that also has a scenario in terms of some sort of a conflict element in it, because in many cases some of the titles that I shared now just with you had, in many cases there was some sort of a dream, an ambition, a goal to be at a specific place. Lovely artwork. You don't know if the storyline is, you know, it's going to be going to live up to the artwork's particular presentation, but things looked okay-ish. But if you're up for specific, if we can call it like conflict, getting to, you know, the nitty-gritty of the situation, a book specifically like the book or the graphic novel Graceling, written by Kristen Kishore and adapted and illustrated by Gareth Hines, is that it follows the main character Katza, who is known as the Graceling, which is one of the rare people born with an extreme skill. And also being the niece of the king in the book, Katza lived a life of privilege until one day her ability to kill a man with her bare hands revealed itself during a royal banquet. Obviously, this sets things in motion. It sets the storyline in motion, gives the adventure, the kickstart to the adventure right there. And literally, this is as things start going down. Now, you've just got to understand, dear listeners, in terms of when you've got to look at graphic novels, understand the particular themes, have a look at the particular overarching story that is there, because you don't want to, like I've shared during the course of the program today, you don't want to be buying someone a gift and the person is literally 10 and you're buying them a gift or a particular graphic novel that has themes of excessive violence and other particular adult content contained within it, because that's what graphic novels also contain. Kindly always do consult with the bookstore staff in terms of, you know, what themes you can look at, what particular themes you can buy for certain age ranges or age groups. It'll just help you also understand specifically what books are there, what products are there, what particular themes you can set forward as a gift during this particular period of gift giving. And don't worry, we'll also get to the scenario for you, the reader, specifically, what to concentrate on and also the potential reads that exist out there. Now, just as we are about to finish up on today's segment of the holiday reads, I just want to share one particular aspect in terms of the sci-fi genre, in terms of looking at graphic novels. An important thing is always looking at, when you're looking for sci-fi, remember to also look at what kind of themes are contained within this. For example, there are themes that certain particular themes that are not things that you would always consider to be sci-fi-ish. For example, the first one being a comic. It has, manga-based presentation. But this is actually a webtoon, so meaning you can find it on the internet. This is as the main character, John, and another particular character known as Serafina, obviously both attend the same high school. They meet each other, but under certain particular circumstances, in terms of that they have, you know, things like what the X-Men have from the Marvel Universe, these particular kinds of mutant powers or weird powers, and the storyline works from there, specifically that they're school kids, teenagers, discovering these particular anomalies associated to their being, and things pop off from there. On that particular note, dear listeners, it does bring us up to the end for today's segment here of the holiday reads. Obviously, content where we were containing and, or not containing, but rather focusing on the graphic novel titles and kinds of books specifically that you can get for young minds, young readers. And this is for anyone up until even 35. I'll even push the level a little bit higher. But before we continue, let's take a short ad break.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You'll learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
We come back, dear listeners, and just as mentioned, or as promised, that does bring us up to the end for today's session of the Holiday Reads segment. Do stay tuned for the next program to come in after the break. We'll see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow, here on your number one talk radio station. And I'll wish you guys now already, specifically, a Merry Christmas, and wherever you find yourself, obviously enjoy your holiday period with friends, with family. Ensure that you get enough to eat and to rest as well. Kick it up a little bit, recharge your batteries, And we're obviously battling towards the end of this year, which is 2025. Hope to see each other in the new year, because I'll still be here, obviously, as we'll be rounding out this year known as 2025. But for those of us that have not seen each other yet, or have not seen each other for the better part of this particular week, that particular wish is directed to you. On that note, dear listeners, stay tuned for the next programming after the break.